Please pray with me. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful and kindle in us the fire of your love. Amen. Please be seated. If a corporation today paid their employees like the landowner in our gospel, there'd probably be like a class action lawsuit. It just isn't fair. But when we hear this story, how many of us imagine yourselves as the first workers, you know, those hired first in the morning, up early, eager, ready to work, wanting to get a good day's wage so you can take care of your responsibilities and feed your family? But what if we were in the last group, the ones hired at the end of the day? You know, we too want to take care of our responsibilities and feed our families. And it's easy to jump to the conclusion that there's something wrong with those people hired at the end of the day. But the response to, why are you still standing here, is because no one has hired us. They wanted to work and they weren't hired. Well, maybe they're the ones that most people think are unemployable. You know, maybe they looked like they didn't have skills, or they didn't look strong enough, or maybe it was their gender, or maybe they weren't hired at the beginning of the day because they were busy taking care of children or sick and elderly family members. There are so many reasons why someone who needs a job or wants a job isn't hired. But this parable isn't about being a good candidate for a job. Jesus starts off by telling us right away that this is a story about the kingdom of heaven. And it's what the kingdom of heaven is like. Now, the landowner represents God. And this story tells us that God can be as generous as God wants. And it appears that God wants everyone to have enough, those hired first and those hired last. God's sense of fairness isn't like ours. For God, justice is being generous and providing enough for everyone. We have a hard time with this. The detail that catches my attention is towards the end when the landowner or God says, "Am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? Or are you envious because I am generous?" Yes, we are. It is hard to fight against that inclination to be envious and jealous. It's easy to fall into comparison and competition and then resentment. And sometimes it doesn't look like there is enough to go around. And if we look at life from a point of scarcity and I better get mine, than from a place of that there is enough for everyone, this really strikes a chord with us. But imagine what it would be like if we were the last group hired. The shock and the happiness to get a full day's wage for only an hour of work. And all the envy and the bitterness belongs to the grumbling ones that were hired first in the day. You know, we relate to that. You know, we understand a fair day's wage for a fair day's work. But equal pay for just a fraction of the time? It doesn't fit into our sense of fairness or being right. But this is telling us about our generous God. And this parable demonstrates how God wants us to work. In this dog-eat-dog world of fear and scarcity, we're invited by God to live a life from the standpoint of abundance. There's enough and generosity. And maybe the landowner, maybe God hired, who hired the people in what seems like reverse order and reverse pay. Maybe he wanted to pay people in reverse order, the last ones first, so that the first ones hired could witness this overwhelming generosity of giving a full day's wage to those that came late to the job site. And it would remind them that God is already generous with them. Living this way, trusting that God has, will, and will continue to provide for us has been a human struggle forever. And our reading from Exodus reminds us that our ancestors struggled with this. I mean, God brought the Israelites out of slavery and into freedom, and they're walking towards the promised land, and they start complaining and get nostalgic about how good it was to be a slave because they're hungry. Then God, they complain, God provides. They're thirsty and water flows out of a rock. They say they're hungry, he sends manna and quail. And like our ancestors, we too still worry about enough. And we struggle to provide that God, to trust, excuse me, that God will provide. And we really struggle to surrender envy and jealousy and resentment of those that have more than we do. We struggle, and our complaints for more will continue until we really trust in God's generosity, when we find a way to stop being discontent, to stop comparing ourselves, to give up our jealous thoughts of, that's not fair. I worked hard for that, and it is mine. When we realize that it's only by God's generosity and grace that we have what we have, that we were able to work, then we will know that there is enough. This parable is really hard for us. Last night, someone said that they were instantly enraged, waiting for their turn to go see the doctor. And for some reason, someone who was there after them got called in first. And they were instantly in flames. I've been waiting too. How come they get to go before me? We do this all the time, this struggle of, is it fair? Is it right? You know, we want to trust in God and God's generosity, but there are not many voices reminding us to recognize our absolute, complete dependence on God and God's grace for everything. You know, we are bombarded with the philosophy of independence and being self-made people. And all day, we are reminded that there is always more to acquire for ourselves. And often those of us with stuff, especially a lot of stuff, be that money or possessions, we're the ones who really struggle with this. You know, a natural disaster like a hurricane or earthquakes remind us of how fleeting our stuff is. And all those amazing stories we hear of people who have so much faith in God's providence, it's always the ones that have been through something horrible, who've lost everything, or lost a loved one, or the poor, because they know they have to rely on God and God's mercy, so they really trust. Well, you know, knowing how others trust and even remembering our own experiences, our own moments of dependency on God's generosity, well, it can easily slip out of our consciousness when we think that we are the source of our wealth and our success. And especially when we think, well, I deserve this, or I earned this because I worked long and hard for it. When we think that all we have is through our own effort, well, then we're forgetting that the source of all is God. It kind of helps us explain why Jesus says such strange things like, the last will be first, and the first will be last. Or, this one always is so quirky, that it's harder for a rich man to get into heaven than a camel to get through the eye of a needle. It seems like Jesus is always reminding and warning rich people. Well, for me, it's because sometimes I'm inclined to trust and depend on the riches that I have. And I get distracted by what I have, and I trust in my blessings rather than in the giver of my blessings. Our wealth, getting and keeping our stuff, occupies much of our time. And in our society, like it or not, money is power, and the lack of money is a lack of power. And we know this because we've all felt this at some point in our life, as one with money and power, and as one without money, and therefore without power. Jesus talks about this a lot because money and power can get in the way of the kingdom of heaven, and we need to be reminded of it. This fear of not having enough, of losing our independence, is an undercurrent in our lives. Even those of us who struggle financially, those on limited income or on a really tight budget, the riches we have or we don't have can get in the way of us living generously so that all can have enough. That's why Jesus keeps telling us parables and parables about how riches get in our way. And Jesus encourages us over and over again, trust in God's goodness. And Jesus over and over again invites us to live trusting that God is generous and that there will be enough. Tricky bit is sometimes what we think is enough and what God thinks is enough is a little different. What motivates us to bring about a world that reflects the kingdom of God? What inspires us to live a life of generosity so that there is enough for everyone? What helps us drop our envy and our resentment over money and power? Or things being fair according to our standards? When we live knowing that all the generosity, love, and grace we have already received is from God, then we remember. Then we want to live that way. Then we choose that faith with God and God's generosity will continue and that it will be enough for everyone. In this parable, Jesus invites us into experiencing life in God's kingdom right now. And we're invited to live like God lives right now with generosity and sharing our resources so that everyone has enough no matter what. Amen.